Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Before we get into it, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by your local San Diego County, the UPS stores. Your local San Diego County UPS store locations are hosting a shred event from April 7th through April 15th. 50% off shredding services. Visit theupsstore.com for the location nearest you. See store for details. Well, little known fact, one of Chris's favorite things in life is shredding papers. So
it is not one of my favorite things in life.
I thought you told me you love shredding papers.
I absolutely don't. It is a job that I get... pawned off on me often by my wife.
I didn't realize. I thought you loved shredding papers. Really was saying that.
No, I really don't love it. I've done it here because my wife gives me a stack of stuff to shred. You know, I always go, my argument is if somebody really wants to dig through my trash and find something, good on them. I don't believe that people really do that.
Yeah, they do.
But my wife is convinced they do. So she wants everything shredded. So,
Chris, people do that.
I know. This is why I do it. So I go shred stuff, but at home we have the little Walmart version of a shredder that can do like one paper at a time. At work,
we have the industrial joint,
yeah. Which is why you see me shredding at work often, because my wife makes me do the shredding.
Well,
so I bring stuff here.
Out yourself now.
Now I'm going to be told by the higher ups. You know that shredding cost us money every time you run it through there.
Don't worry, Braden takes up all the paper for his boards that he does for calling games.
Okay, well,
you're fine, Chris.
I think I'll be okay. But no, I don't like shredding stuff. I don't like shredding.
All right, let's get into the bets we made yesterday. Yankees were home to the Diamondbacks. The Yankees were -1.5 on the run line. You guys chose the Snakes.
Yeah, it was your fault.
I chose the Yankees.
Right.
Yankees win 9-7.
Right. I forgot about your hissing snakes.
You know, someone sent me, actually Brutus fan sent me this on Twitter. Remember the guy who had a snake on his head and he was a YouTube sensation where he was like, "Ooh, I'm a snake." You remember this guy?
I don't remember.
It's
that
good,
guy
but
at
that's
all.
Where it comes from. Nestor Cortez, over under 4.5 strikeouts yesterday. Chris went over, I went over, Tony went under, and good for Nestor. He bounced back with a good start, struck out 6. I think they won 1-0.
By the way, did you hear that the Reds now have lost 3 consecutive games by a score of 1-0? And they're the first team to do that in 65 years. and only the second team ever to do it.
That's 27 innings, boy.
27 plus one. They're actually at 28. But they've only one other team in the history of baseball has lost three straight games by a score of 1-0, as the Reds now have.
That's kind of brutal.
That's kind of weird.
Lakers, -1 over the Warriors last night. You guys chose the Lakers. I chose the Warriors. The Warriors won 123-116. Who had more points in the game, Steph Curry or LeBron James?
Steph had by one.
No, by
one whopping point.
By four.
I think he hit a late. He hit a couple of free throws
at
the end.
Yeah,
you know, look, this is the. I know you see it differently, Cone, because you're a hard, you know, diehard Laker, and they lose a game that they, you know, was a big game. But I really can sit there and enjoy that. I mean, to watch LeBron, 40 years old, Steph, 37 years old, and these guys combine for 70 points, and most of them were in the second half.
Watch it?
No, I could. I love it. I love to watch these guys. I mean, for these two guys to be playing at this level still, and, you know, Steph Curry, I you know, an open three-pointer, I don't even know why they make – he has to shoot it. They just put it up on the board. It's incredible.
Honestly, Chris, I usually would be irritated watching that game, but because those two were going at it the way they were, it made it enjoyable.
It was fun. And Austin Reeves, I think, what did he make, 8 threes? Maybe three of them in the right at the end of the game. Podziemski made 9 threes for Golden State, whoever that is.
Somebody put a clip or like side by side or kind of combined clips of Austin Reeves and Pistol Pete. It is insanely close watching
eerie,
them play. Yes.
Austin
check
Reeves.
It out. If you get a chance, look it up. Somebody has like, don't know where I saw it, but it was like a video and it was like showing different highlights. They have a lot of similarities in their game.
That is a high compliment to be compared to Pistol Pete Maverick like that.
Yes, we know his name's Maravich. It's a show joke.
It's a show joke.
It's probably one of the longest running show jokes.
Yes, it was early in our tenure when that happened.
Will Galvez was like Pistol Pete Maverick.
Will blessed us with some good ones.
The other one that he blessed us with is. Is Detlef Schrempf, and Will Detlef said, no, I need you to say a basketball player. Tony's like, no, I did.
Yeah, Tony says Detlef Schrempf, and Will goes, I need a name. That is your name.
That's your name. Yeah, those are some moments.
And we get this from Will.
Scravy! Another Will. Yeah, Will get
all right, final bet. The Eaters versus the Mocs. And yes, they do call themselves the Mocs.
Right.
Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. They're short for moccasins.
Yeah.
UC Irvine -3.5 in the NIT championship. The
thanks for making that clear, Scrape.
Well, because I felt like I said a bad word when I said it for some reason. It didn't feel right. Chris and I, or we all chose the Eaters.
Yeah.
And the Eaters went down.
In overtime.
85-84.
I don't know. It's not a big deal, but I felt bad for UC Irvine. They had the ball. The guy had the ball 1 foot from the basket, but he was at the side of the basket, so he couldn't bank it in, and he just threw up this little teardrop, and it went in and out. I mean, he was 1 foot away from winning the game. It didn't happen. Chattanooga wins. All right, tonight we have South Carolina just tipping off here, 5.5 over Texas in the women's Final Four. Gamecocks are the defending national champs. I'll start first. I do think South Carolina, these teams have played three times already this year. South Carolina won two of the three. I think South Carolina wins this. They got the Final Four experience. Tony?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Scrape? Horns?
No, I got to go with South Carolina.
One of these, Scrape?
Yeah, horns down.
Horns down?
Horns down.
All right.
Don't watch out when you walk out of here, Chris.
I know. The Texas fans will pounce. later on tonight, the marquee matchup, UConn, 7.5 over UCLA. Tony, you're first. UConn is a 2 seed, but they are also UConn. UCLA is a 1 seed, but I don't think people believe in the Bruins. Obviously not. They're 7.5-point underdog. Tony.
Count me out on believing on them. Believing in them. I'm taking Paige.
You're going with Paige.
Beckers. Yep.
Paige Beckers. All right. Yeah. Scrape, who you got here?
Although somebody, I can't. Paige is, you know, could Paige is one of the elder statesmen in college.
She is. She definitely
college
is.
Basketball. She could be accused of playing against little kids at this point.
How old is Paige Beckers?
40.
I think she's like 20, 24.
She's not 40, Chris.
She's not? I thought she was 40.
All right. She born in 2001, so 24. You're right.
Yeah, it's bold for college player.
I'm going to go UConn.
UConn. All right, I'm going to go out. I'll try UCLA. I think UCLA feels like they're being slighted by being a 7.5-point underdog, so I'll take the points. Your girl, Paige Beckers, over under 25 points tonight. Scraby, you're first.
I think she's going
to
need...
To win, I was going to finish Tony's sentence. I think she's going to need a 30-point game, so yes, over.
Yes, over. Chris?
Well, Chris, I will actually go with... No,
I'm going to go over also. She's almost guaranteed to get 25, it seems like. Tony?
Yep, 25 over.
All right, tomorrow... Yes, Florida's 2.5 over Auburn in the first game of the men's Final Four. And it is, Tony's turn. Florida 2.5 over Auburn.
Auburn.
Going with the points. All right. By the way, really good story. Not a surprise because he's a great writer. Mark Ziegler on Chad Baker Mazzara, former Aztec, now starting for Auburn. In the paper today. Tony, if you get a chance online, find it later. Well done. This kid has come a long way since Brian Dutcher basically kicked him out of the program. He dismissed him here. And there was good reason for it. But now, and Chad Baker Mazzara agrees. Said, I needed that to get my life together. Scraby, Florida minus 2.5, Auburn.
I'm going to go Florida.
I'm going to go Florida, too. They got to play better than they did last week against Texas Tech. Duke's 4.5 over Houston.
Houston.
Scraby.
Houston.
Scrape.
Cooper Flag is very good, but I like Houston.
I like Houston also. They're just so good on defense. They do all the little things. I think they'll keep it very close, although 4.5 points isn't a lot. Tony, how about you?
Houston.
Houston. By the way, Duke defeated Houston in the... Duke beat Houston in the Elite Sweet 16 last year. Another bit of motivation for Houston, perhaps. One more. Florida-Auburn game. Total points, minus 25 total points in the Duke-Houston game. Chris is first.
Okay.
Got it? Scrape.
Yes.
Add up the points in both games.
Yes.
Florida-Auburn, minus 25. Duke-Houston will be in the 50s. Florida-Auburn probably be in the 80s. So I'm going to say... Florida Auburn beat that.
Okay.
Tony.
Who scores more points between
total
the two games?
Yeah, total game, yeah.
Yeah, total.
Total points for the game.
Houston, give me Houston and Duke.
Plus the 25?
Plus 25,
yes. Oh, they get plus. So how explain that to me.
So Florida Auburn, if they combine for 200, you minus 25 for 175. Duke Houston just has to beat 175. They don't have a handicap. So they get what they get.
Give me Duke Houston.
All right. I'm going to go Duke Houston as well.
All right, you guys get the 25 points. All right, very good. What do we got to do? I'm sorry. This is becoming kind of a thing now, and it's not
we
got
to go to 18.
Oh!
We got to go to 18.
All right.
Real quick, I got something for you.
What you got?
Good. Did you guys see what Mr. Harper said today?
Mr. Bryce Harper?
We're talking about Bryce?
Mr. Bryce Harper.
I did not.
I don't know.
I think Bryce might be the new hated man. And
did he say something about Jackson's contract?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. But I'm pretty sure that folks aren't going to like what he said here. It said, the two-time NL MVP Harper was blunt Friday ahead of a three-game series with the champs about those baseball who whine about the Dodgers payroll and signing of Japanese stars.
Ah.
I don't know if people will like this, but I feel like only losers complain about what they're doing. I think they're a great team and a great organization. I have a feeling he might get a little stronger booze.
He might get some pushback on this, but I don't necessarily disagree with him. I mean, look, the teams that are really trying to win games are out there spending what they can to try and win. They're trying to, they already all make so much money. We know this from, you know, not the TV revenue so much anymore, but, you know, just baseball teams are worth so much money. And for me, you know, these owners that don't want to compete, don't want to spend, where are they in the standings? They're all in last place. So Bryce Harper's just telling, right, as you say, Tony, he's telling facts. And I don't think the Padre fans should even complain about it. The Padres have the ninth highest payroll in baseball and have done, you know, quite well in going out and spending. And they're not losers. So I don't believe he's speaking about us.
You know who's a loser? Bryce Harper. He's never won a World Series.
Those are the type of responses we're going to get moving forward.
He probably will hear that a few times.
I really don't actually think that he said anything like egregious, but it is annoying.
He did. Not,
annoying or what they do is annoying?
No, what he said was annoying because the more that they normalize this, the more that it's just going to keep getting out of control on one side.
This is loser talk, as is what he.
No, he's normalizing one team having a leg up on everyone. Like I want players out there, and I understand why Bryce Harper thinks this because it will better the game, and in the end he'll probably
make
more money.
15 seconds, buddy, to get your thought in.
Ugh, that was too much. My brain just exploded. I will tell everybody on the other side, but I don't really think what he said was too terrible.
I don't think it was either. So too bad. If the shoe fits, wear it. And, you know, Bryce Harper's calling you out as a loser and you feel like you are, then you can take offense to what he said.
I do.
Scraby? Right.
Scraby's a loser.
I am not a loser. And I am not a mark.
I think we need to clip that. I am not a loser. You're going to need to use that as the show goes forward.
You know, I know one thing. Bryce Harper, not a Scrabinator.
Mm. All right. We do now can break for traffic on Gwen and Chris.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at Beaumont Health KS.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almacid.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Martin Maldonado, the batter, swings at the first pitch, hammers it in the air to deep left field. Happ is back towards the corner, at the wall, looking up, gonna go! Martin Maldonado's first home run as a Padre is a two-out shot here at Wrigley Field, and we got a 1-1 game in the third.
Found money for the Padres today, Martin Maldonado. You figure him to slug maybe 9 or 10 of those this year? And one of them was today. Unfortunately, it was the only run the Padres got. They fall to the Cubs 3-1 at Wrigley Field. Chris Ello and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios here. Finally, a Friday, Tony Gwynn Jr. Spent some good quality minutes with us there from Chicago. And he is off for the rest of the evening.
Such
so we'll
a
take
weird
you
game time for them on a Friday.
11:20. This is when the Cubs always play. I don't know where have you been.
I went to a night game when I was when I went to a game.
Well, before 19, what was it? 88.
They didn't have lights.
They had every game was at 11:20. So
crazy.
It's a very normal time for a Cub game. All three games in this series will be played at that same time. So tomorrow at 11:20 and Sunday at 11:20. Padres suffered their first loss of the season. When will the Dodgers lose? So far, they're down 1-0 in Philadelphia. Bottom of the third. Phillies are off to a good start as well at 5-1. So that's a pretty good matchup there in Philly tonight.
You know,
Scraby's been working tirelessly to try and see if we can somehow watch it. We finally
came
up.
We've made some steps.
We've made some steps forward, but we're still not there yet, Scraby. There are so many hoops you have to jump through to stream a game. And
Apple.
This is why I can't stand the whole streaming world.
I blame Apple.
Is it just Apple? I mean, could you get on Netflix easier than that?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Wow. If you don't know the password, you can't.
Well, yeah, of course, if you don't know the password. But once you know the password, I can get in like that. Apple makes you it's sent a code to a device, and no one could be there for the device, so I had to cancel the code to the device. I had to send a code to someone else. And
it's a battle.
It's a battle.
I'm thinking that the show will be over, and then you'll go, hey.
He's still working on this.
And you'll go, wait, I got it. And then the show will be over.
So the Scraby show will have it.
Scraby
and
show will have it.
Bottom of the ninth when we get it working. I got to say something real quick about Bryce Harper and his comments about it being okay that the Dodgers spent a bunch of money. Emma Key gave me this point, actually, on the chat. It's really easy to say that when your team is the third highest spending team in the league. I mean, if he was on a team, I don't even know what the Nationals are at right now. If he's still on the Nationals and they're middle of the pack, I don't know that he has the same opinion.
I think he'll always have that opinion because Bryce Harper is one of the $100 million type ball players. These guys always want owners to spend extreme amounts of money. That's how, you know, Bryce Harper makes his living on
an
extreme contract like that.
He's an upper echelon guy. There's only a certain number of upper echelon guys.
But I also don't.
Doesn't make sense for the everyday regular player.
Well, there's something to be said here. The owners can afford to pay these guys a lot more money. And, you know, you keep looking at it from the perspective of, you know, these salaries are way too high. These guys are lucky to make the money. I look at it from two perspectives. One, the owners, why should they keep the money? And two, I still see the Rockies at the bottom of the standings in our division and other teams like them who are just collecting money. And that is more distasteful to me than what the Dodgers are doing by trying to dominate the game.
See, at least you could just count one team out. Like, that is okay to me. It's
you're
not actually
that,
hold on. It's not okay to me that they're just collecting money because you have to put forth an effort in when you own a Major League Baseball team. It's just part of the job.
I would think so. I do know somebody. I was actually talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and one of those things I don't remember. It wasn't one of my normal, you know, inner circle, but somebody I ran into, and they said they know one of the Montfort brothers, not Dick. Okay. And he said they are the happiest people on earth.
Because they have mailbox money. It just
they
comes
could
in.
Just, yeah, they could care less if their team ever wins a game.
That's wrong.
Of course it's wrong,
because
right? It's way worse than anything else.
The fans need to take it into their own hands. That's how you tell an
There's
owner,
only one way that the Rockies
it.
Will ever change, right? Is if the fans completely stop showing up to the game.
But fans can't do that. Me? I could boycott someplace for the rest of my life and do it on principle, Chris.
All right. Padres fall 3-1 today. Scraby's got a big five. We'll get to that when we return. Final four for the women has started. Texas 12, South Carolina 9. Keep you up to date there as Gwynn and Chris continues.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Payday is one of those very deviant
candies, very deviant candy bars. You know, the nuts are on the outside, right. And then inside
is
like
nougat?
A caramelly nougat that holds it all together.
What is nougat?
I've never loved Three Musketeers. It's too
fluffy.
Much nougat for me.
It's light nougat, though.
Has anyone ever said nougat more than this show and this segment? Nougat, nougat.
Listen to Ben and Woods, weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using
Get better and better to watch these kids play. On the women's side, the game is so much. If you watched women's college basketball, say, 5 years ago, and you thought, give it another look, because they're so good now compared to even 5 years ago. The play, I mean, there's a beautiful spin move for a hoop there. They shoot the three. It's physical. No, it's good. It's good basketball. The only difference is that they're not above the rim, to which Shaquille O'Neal said he thinks they should lower the rim.
I know, and I've seen all the arguments against, and I agree with all the arguments against.
I do, too.
Argument against is that everybody's been playing on a 10-foot rim.
Right, they'd have
forever.
To completely change everything, number one. Number
Move
two.
The three-point lines, all that stuff.
And some people just like the women's game better anyway because there's, you know, more intricate passing and things of that nature that need to be made to get a basket as opposed to just muscling up and dunking the basketball.
Yeah, I don't need them to dunk all the time.
It would be great, though, I must say.
To have like a if they could, slam-a-jamma.
If they could fly through the air and, you know, slam one down, maybe in, you know, who knows, maybe in another.
Yeah, I think that it'll
another
happen
dimension.
At some point. All athletes just keep getting better and more athletic.
Good point, Scraby. 1-0 Phillies, Dodgers coming to bat in the top of the fourth. We're still not watching the game, despite
still waiting that login
every
code.
Effort to try to log in to Apple TV. It hasn't happened yet. All right, we're going to get into the Big Five, see what else is happening. Padres, if you're just tuned in, are 7-1 now after the Cubs knocked them off 3-1. Good game at Wrigley Field. Padres had a chance, 2 outs, runners at 2nd and 3rd, top of the 9th. Jake Cronenworth today did not come through, and they left the tying and 2 tying runs on base there in the 9th. You know, you look at the game. The Cubs scored on a bases-loaded walk, on a fielder's choice ground ball, and a rare error by Manny at third base.
Yeah.
That's it. They did not get a single, you know, base hit RBI today. Padres, in a sense, gave them 2 of the 3 runs they got. So, you know, Cubs out, Padre'd the Padres today. Played just a little better than the Padres. And pitched a little better with Imanaga getting the better.
I mean, he was ace-like today.
Well, no walks. I mean, this is 7 1/3 innings. You get no walks and no, you only give up the 1 solo homer. But in general, no walks, keep the ball in the ballpark. Going to win a lot of big league games.
You know, quietly, I mean, I guess it wasn't quietly last year because he jumped on the scene. Everybody thought he was going to be Rookie of the Year. But out of all the Japanese pitchers that have come over here, he might be the best one right now.
He's one of the best, and he's one of the least talked about.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, you think people talk about Sasaki, Yamamoto, or Imanaga, right? It's not even close.
Yeah.
But Imanaga.
You never hear about Imanaga.
No, he's better than both of those guys, I think.
Me too.
All right. Traffic, Big Five. Let's.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why our recruiters' expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
Number five.
Now, I wanted to get into this yesterday, but I didn't fit it in there, Chris. Your favorite agent, Scott Boras, has some
thoughts.
Don't
I call him something different?
Boros.
I call him Boros, yeah. I don't know why. He was very kind to come on our show
years
ago.
He seems like a really
One of the very few interviews where I felt a tad intimidated.
Well, yeah, because he was like...
He's kind of a bigger-than-life presence,
he almost
not?
Is. He almost
and,
is.
One more thing about Scott Boras. He's a soft talker.
That's true.
You had the microphone turned up.
We had it cranked.
As high as it could go, and I still couldn't hear him.
That's why I like when we have the overhead microphones, because it can be next to their mouth. He had his microphone down on his lap.
Right. But here's another thing, just about the soft talker.
Yes.
Soft talkers get people to pay closer attention to them than loud, boisterous people who you just blow you off the floor.
So you think it's by design?
It might be. I don't know. But if you're a soft talker... Think about it. You have to lean in to listen to them, which means you are more engaged.
I'm not more engaged. I'm more annoyed.
You're just
more
annoyed.
Talking. I mean, I don't really care. Like, can you please speak a little bit louder so I can hear you without having you breathe into my ear?
I know.
Yeah, but you're right. I forgot all about Scott Boras being a soft talker. That is 100% yes. True. Well, he had some thoughts on Jackson Merrill's contract. And
did he soft talk this?
Probably. No. I'm going to read his quote, soft talking. Let's see. Boras said, front offices, quote, look for agencies that are new or have few clients and are in need of money.
Okay. All right, I'll stop doing that.
All right. Boras said, which leaves club executives, quote, often surprised early, well below market contracts are accepted. So basically he's saying that the Padres took advantage of Jackson Merrill without actually saying it. He points to the lack of a full no-trade clause in many of the contracts as a downside for the player, an indication that teams aren't necessarily bought in for the full term of the deal. He went on to say, quote, when you examine the majority of early deals, two common factors direct the true intent of seeking an early contract. One, cost containment, and two, increasing trade value. Early deals rarely, if ever, include full no-trade clauses, meaning the club wants the right to move the player, increasing trade value, and sell off the more expensive years when the player is older. Which he is right about that. So, Chris, do you agree with Scott Boras here?
I don't like him. I just don't like him. Boras was speaking to the Baltimore Banner.
Yeah, the Baltimore Banner.
Is that what
Banner.
You just read?
Yep.
I think
the
it's
Baltimore
a,
Banner.
I think what it is it's a cheap shot by a guy sitting up on top of the perch looking down on somebody who might eventually be trying to get where he is as a young agent. So what? Maybe he isn't as experienced as you. You're the greatest, Scott. What do you want me to tell you? You know?
He doesn't want the competition.
The old saying, you meet the same people going up as you do going down. And one day, Scott Boras will be going down. It will happen. And when he's there, I hope this agent is, you know, rolling right past him. So, I think it's a cheap shot by a guy who's at the top of the sport. And I think the other thing is the agent for Jackson Merrill has to do what Jackson Merrill wants to do, and I think Jackson Merrill wanted to do this.
Yes. With everybody telling him not to do it for their own benefit, by the way.
Maybe Scott Boras would say, hey, you can't sign that, and Jackson Merrill would have to go, well, then I'm going to have to get another agent because I don't want you to be negotiating for me. We don't know all of this, we do know that Jackson Merrill is quite happy, and if he's happy, then Scott Boras ought to just shut the bleep up. But he's dealing from a position of strength here, which is why he's being holier than thou.
I agree with everything that you said, and I even agree with the last part of what Scott Boras said about how teams don't give full no-trade clauses because at the end of the contract, they're cheap, they can trade it away easy, they can get better returns on it. I don't think that's what the Padres did in this thing. I think that, yes, they wanted some cost containment. I don't think that's a secret, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't understand why Scott Boras has to make so much money all the time. It's not a bad thing that Jackson Merrill did this. It's actually a good thing. It tells me that there are still people out there that aren't Juan Soto, who want to be paid the highest in the league, that aren't the Francisco Lindors, that get like an extra $1 million, so they get outpaid, the next
shortstop.
Yeah, yeah. And one more thing about this is, like, I do find it weird that they didn't give him a full no trade clause. He does have like 8 teams on his list that he can't be traded to, but if they're trading Jackson Merrill, that means the franchise is in a bad place. So I don't foresee this happening. Anything else, Chris?
I did have something else, but it has completely.
That's why I cut you off mind. Because that my little point right there like left my head 3 times, so I had to get it out.
Go number 4.
The Arizona Cardinals made Trey McBride the highest paid tight end in NFL history yesterday. McBride agreed to a 4-year extension worth $76 million and $43 million guaranteed. McBride's annual average of $19 million in the deal is the highest for an NFL tight end. I'm at first, is he worth this money?
Well, I know what you're going to say. Nobody's worth this money.
No. I think he's good. I think he's good. He needs more touchdowns.
It'd be nice if he had more than one.
Yeah.
If he had. The only one he got last year that I recall was on a tight end around. I don't think he caught one until maybe the last game of the season when Kyler Murray forced one to him. But
is he worth the money? Yes, but Brock Bowers is going to break your record, sir.
Easily, and I don't think Trey McBride cares. It is Trey McBride's turn to get paid, and this is how the system. You know how this works.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're George Kittle, and it's your turn, you get paid the most. Then it's Trey McBride's turn, and he becomes the highest. And then George Kittle goes, "Well, I want to renegotiate because I'm not the highest." This is how this game goes. But I think, you know, when it's Brock Bowers' turn, and what is it, 3-4 years, he just was a rookie, he'll get the bag, too. I think nobody's worth this. Nobody in any sport. But in the NFL, where the owners have the money, I'd rather him have it than, what is it, Bidwell? One of those Yahoo.
Yeah,
you talk
Bidwell.
About a Yahoo.
Yeah, he is a Yahoo.
The Cardinal ownership is
he's
Yahoo.
Definitely a Yahoo. And you said earlier something, I don't want players to get paid. I do want players to get paid, but I don't want players to think, you know, businesses still have to run. They still have to pay marketing people. They still have to pay costs. Like, just because you play baseball doesn't mean you get the $1 billion that the team makes. I like when people get paid. I just would like for...
I don't think you do, but you're trying to talk me into it, and you're not succeeding.
Number 3.
The NBA fined Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant $75,000 after he again made a gun gesture with his fingers in his team's 110-108 victory over the Heat last night, despite receiving a warning from the league for performing the same celebration earlier in the week. The league's announcement of the punishment, the NBA said Morant was being fined, quote, for twice making an inappropriate gesture on the playing court. Shams Charania and Tim McMahon reported that Morant and Golden State Warriors guard Buddy Hield were both issued with warnings by the NBA for making a gun gesture towards each other Tuesday. Chris, my question is this. Will Ja Morant ever get it?
Not only will he not get it, the NBA's got to move into action again here.
You think he needs a suspension?
Again. There's absolutely...
For the third time.
This is the only thing you can take away from this guy, and I don't think he cares.
You really find him $75,000.
And you've got to continue finding him, and you got to continue suspending him, because this is only going to end badly for Ja Morant. You walk around and brandish a real gun...
Twice
as
in
often
Instagram
as
videos.
As often as this guy has in situations, there's only one way that can end that I know of, and that's badly for somebody. If it's not Ja Morant who gets shot,
it's
Plaxico Burress shooting somebody accidentally. It's a gun going off where it shouldn't go. Right, shot himself. This is just, Ja Morant is an absolute idiot. I can't describe him any other way. I mean, to be suspended twice, to be almost arrested, kicked out of the league, and to continue doing it, mocking people. And then here's what he said at the end. And I'd like to quote him, but I'm reading a different story than I read earlier, so I don't have the quote. He said, well, of course they're mad. I mean, I'm just the villain. I mean, they just pick on me for whatever I do.
I don't think
you're
going
to be trying to be the You're trying to make me feel like you're the victim here?
Yeah, the victim.
You're no victim. You're stupid.
No, in fact, I think people really want to see you succeed, Ja Morant. I think people really like watching you play basketball.
People love Ja Morant. They want to watch him. He does do amazing things on the court. But they got to suspend him again. I don't know what else you can do. Eventually, you're just going to have to say, you know what? You're going to have to go brandish your gun thing
elsewhere.
In the European League.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing yourself or anyone else any favors.
I didn't know. I
this is ridiculous that he even got in trouble once. And then 2 days after it happens, you do it again. If I was a parent, which I wasn't, thankfully, in many cases, the one thing that would make me lose my cool, I guarantee you, is if my child did something and I sat down calmly, collectively told him this is what you need to do, not do, etc. And then they basically got up and did it again anyway. Now you'd lose me.
Yeah.
This is what Ja Morant does. I can't deal with him anymore.
Driving when I knew we were going to answer this, I was thinking, is idiot too far of a word? But you said it, and I agree with it. This is an idiotic move by someone who does not get it clearly. So for people, backstory. A couple years ago, he was suspended twice by the NBA because he was caught on Instagram videos with a real gun.
Yeah.
And he was even put into it was like work on yourself type of classes,
whatever. Yeah, gun management,
that
anger
and like
issues,
and,
whatever,
and like trying therapy maybe.
I've told you that stuff doesn't work, and it
but
doesn't.
This is just an idiotic thing to do. Idiotic. And I am going to start not liking Ja Morant, because if you keep doing stupid stuff,
I can't deal with him
you
any
play
longer
stupid
I've
games
I've reached my limit with him, and
you get stupid prizes.
You know, the notion that he's trying to be the victim and say, oh, they're just picking on me.
That's
not
true.
No, you're making the gesture.
Yeah.
This isn't an argument.
And they've asked you to stop.
There's video of you doing it time and time again.
And they've asked you to stop.
Yes, they have.
Number two.
It looks like Dale Earnhardt Jr. has waved the white flag in a short-lived trademark dispute with Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. He announced that he has secured the right to use a stylized version of number 8 and will abandon the original number 8 logo used by Earnhardt Jr. Motorsports. This decision came 2 days after Jackson filed an opposition claim with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to stop Earnhardt from putting that JR Motorsports version of number 8 on merchandising. We all know Jackson wears number 8, and he previously registered the trademark Era 8 by Lamar Jackson. Blah-bitty blah blah blah, blah-bitty blah blah blah, blah-bitty blah blah blah. He's also suing Troy Aikman. They're still in the middle of court stuff. So I'm up first. Why does Lamar Jackson feel like he owns the number 8? He doesn't own the number 8, and before people start DMing me because I got the trademark laws wrong, this is a number. Anybody can use a number in my mind. Lamar Jackson should be more worried about winning a Super Bowl and actually winning a playoff game that matters rather than suing everyone for using the number 8. This really bothered me, and I don't know why. But you do not own the number 8, buddy. You don't. And save the DMs about trademark law. Chris?
This just in, Lamar Jackson has sued the he sued the game of billiards.
Oh, the eight
for
ball.
Playing a game
that's
called
a great,
8 ball.
Man, that's a great point, Chris.
He has sued the all of the Olympic ice skaters for doing figure eights.
That's really good one.
He has just filed a lawsuit against every stop sign in America because it's 8-sided.
This is good.
Come on, Lamar.
This is good.
What is his? Do we have anything from him that explains why this is imperative to him?
No, he said, you know,
I do know why. At least I try to. I kind of get where maybe he's coming. If he could explain to me what is bothering him,
I do know
about
why.
Dale Earnhardt wearing a number 8 or using a number 8.
His people said it's because logos might get confused easily with his, and they're too close together.
I don't know what you.
And then
do,
when he was asked about it last summer. He was like, oh, no, I'm not going to answer anything like that. I'm playing football.
Yeah, well, sure you are.
You sued Troy Aikman. That's a question that people are going to ask.
Yeah, concentrate on football then, Lamar. I want to try to understand him. I do. But if he won't explain it, then it's hard for me to see his side of the story.
I can't see his
and I don't see it either.
It's a number.
I feel like we're picking on a lot of these athletes and I'm missing something. Like there's something that Ja Morant and Lamar Jackson are thinking that my mind doesn't get
I'll give you Lamar Jackson.
But
there's nothing you're missing with
Ja Morant.
I'm not
finding it as I search for it.
All right. Number one. So there is a picture of Kyle Shanahan on Twitter right now. And I put it right here for Chris to see. But it's a picture from 2017 and a picture from 2025.
He looks like he's just been picked up after an all-nighter at...
Oh, my goodness. You called it, Chris.
Bob's Liquor Store or something.
He does. He totally looks like that. Do you think this is actually stress from 8 years in the NFL and 2 Super Bowl losses, as people are saying?
Sure, there's some stress, but... You get a nice fresh-faced picture of him, probably from his college, just after his college days when he was a special teams coach.
Yeah.
Now he's got, he's older. Most of us look a little more gray and grizzled. I'm sure there's a little stress involved as well.
It does look. And by the way, they chose the worst screenshot to use for his other picture. But
I find this
to
be kind of a non-story.
If you go on Twitter, and you type in Kyle Shanahan, or you just Google Kyle Shanahan pictures, you'll be able to find it.
Are they trying to say that if he had won a couple of Super Bowls, he would look much better now? Is that the point they're trying to make? But
I think they're making the point
that losses have just
it's very stressful to be a head coach.
Driven him to drink. I mean, come on.
I think the offseason is what made him look like this. Recap next on 97.3 The Fan.